This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
3-2 swung on, a pop foul back here.
Ow! 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 It really hit me. I didn't know it was coming back that far.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
I'm gonna miss it. I'm gonna miss spinning the wheel of quarterbacks. I mean, I would do it for the Giants, but it sounds like it's down to two. We'll get to that a little bit later because I see I've spurned some Yankee calls talking about Gerrit Cole. But I have a third quarterback that has been mentioned. I'm not pulling it out of nowhere. But I have a third quarterback that I would put ahead of Russell Wilson. Right now, I am all in on Aaron Rodgers being the next Giant quarterback. All in. I hope Russell Wilson goes back to Pittsburgh. I hope, for whatever reason, because they believe in J.J. McCarthy, and they just want a quarterback there in case J.J. McCarthy can't be ready for the season, and Minnesota believes enough in Daniel Jones to do that, where they bring in Daniel Jones, and Rodgers has nowhere else to go but to the New York Giants. That's my prayer still today. That's what I want. That's the dream. But it sounds like if that dream doesn't happen, and Russell Wilson is the quarterback left standing, that's where the Giants will go. I'll give you an option I prefer better, particularly for the role that the New York Giants are looking to fill. But we'll do that a little bit later. Right now, it's the Gerrit Cole stuff. And, you know, again, there's options, you know, now that we officially know. Yesterday, I did a lot of time on it. I spoke as if we knew because it felt like this news was inevitable. But today, we know for sure that he's having Tommy John surgery. And he's going to be out a long time. I mean, really, the question is, you know, they have these two different Tommy John surgeries. I didn't see any reference to the sleeve or the constraint one, where it's a little bit shorter of a time frame, where it's only a year. This is typically almost a year and a half. I mean, you're talking about lucky if the Yankees have Gerrit Cole back for August of next year. There's no guarantee he comes back next year at his age, recovery time, any kind of setback or anything. I mean, you could be talking about two straight years of missing out on Gerrit Cole. This is a devastating injury for Cole first and then the Yankees. There's no doubt. I'm not saying it doesn't hurt the team. I'm not an idiot. I mean, this is a devastating blow. I just don't think it's a death knell. I do think it's a blow that really takes the rotation from the strength of the team and the main reason I believed it to be the best team in the American League. When Luis Gil, who is coming back at some point, and Gerrit Cole were both in the rotation, and it was Cole, Fried, Rodon, Gil, Clark Schmidt, when that was the starting five, that was the strength of the team. That's what separated them from the rest of the American League. That's what, in my mind, that and the bullpen, and having Aaron Judge in the lineup, the best hitter in the sport, those were the main reasons why I felt, most people felt, most projections felt, that the Yankees were the best team in the American League. That rotation doesn't exist anymore. Now it is an average rotation. It's still better than the Orioles rotation. It's still better than the Blue Jays rotation in their own division. It's still better than a lot of rotations. It's a solid to rotation. The offense isn't good enough to feel really confident about a team with a so-so to slightly above average rotation. It doesn't mean they're dead. It just means what made them the strength of the division and the strength of the American League is no longer there. Other things might pop up. We don't know, and typically the Yankees find a way. As long as Judge is healthy, this team doesn't miss the playoffs. And when I say that, I want to make sure people understand, I am not saying that as some sort of victory. Like, just making the playoffs, I won't, and I promise you, I won't look back on it and say, well, look at all what they were dealing with, and yet they still made the playoffs. Like, no, they have to do better than just making the playoffs. But that, at least, making the playoffs is good enough, or is a, yeah, no. Making the playoffs is good enough to not say now that the season's dead. When you say the season's dead, you can't tell me, well, if they, you know, if they lose in the ALCS again, that's the same. No, no. Season dead means there's nothing to watch. There's no reason to watch. They're not going to make the playoffs. That's what a dead season is. They're not going to contend for the playoffs. Season's not over. It's just begun. We are now 16 days away. Get ready. It's going to be a wild ride. And the Yankees are still going to be one of the best teams in the American League. I still feel very confident about that. Now, again, what do you do to replace Gerrit Cole? I told you, and here's the thing. Two things came out about this owner today. Two reports have come out. One, that they made $411 million in ticket sales and suite sales last year. $411 million. Now, that's just in that. You've got the payroll that's almost $300 million. You got the $600 million lease. That doesn't mean that they're swimming in money, but they made $411 million and more money than they made last year. And they made an extra hundred-something million dollars from their run to the World Series. They made a lot of money last year. And people aren't going to want to hear what I have to say. I still think Hal Steinbrenner should spend more money. I want to make that clear. Hal Steinbrenner should spend more money. The idea that he's stuck here at 304 or whatever it is ridiculous. The idea he tells you $300 million payrolls year after year is unsustainable is ridiculous. It absolutely is sustainable. There's no reason that they should be waiting to trade Marcus Stroman to benefit the team in ways they desperately need it. That's a hideous excuse. And ridiculous for the New York Yankees and how much money they just made this previous year. But having said that, I think we all understand there are some limits. But for me, those two reports, no one's going to want to hear that they don't have more money to spend. So you got that. The money they made in ticket sales last year went up exponentially. They made a ton of money going to the World Series. And then the second report, that they're going to recoup about $27 million from Gerrit Cole's contract via insurance. They took out an insurance on his contract. They're going to get paid $27 million. He makes $36 million. They're making $27 million. So he's on the books for $9 million this year. Now, on the luxury cap, that money counts. As far as payroll, he's $36 million on the luxury cap. The luxury cap isn't coming down. The payroll isn't coming down. That's the payroll. But they are pocketing $27 million. So if you're pocketing $27 million, you already had earmarked for this roster and this, you know, luxury cap. You have to be willing to reinvest that $27 million, bare minimum. Bare minimum. That affords the Yankees to get a $13 million player, $14 million player. Go trade for Nolan Arenado right freaking now. Get it down to $15 million a year, and if it costs you $2 million this year, you do it. Or you go trade for Montgomery, who the Arizona Diamondbacks want nothing to do with. Last year, he was awful for them. I do think his late spring training start, he never got off on the right footing. I do think he's a far better pitcher than he was last year. Do I think he was slightly overrated with the one great year he had with Texas? A little bit. But I do believe in him. I do think he's a good pitcher. And if you can get him for just money on a one-year deal, and you can literally take that $27 million that you're getting from Gerrit Cole and put it right in to money for Montgomery, then you have to go do that. You have to go do that. Something has to be done. They're going to get $27 million. Hal Steinbrenner. I've been as lenient and scream less than any other Yankee fan all over this country, all over this world. I've given you the benefit of the doubt. I didn't expect you to sign Bregman for what would be $80 million for you. I didn't expect you to. I know there's limits. I talk about how you have to pay $600 million for the building and your father never did. I talk about how you're splitting all the proceeds four different ways with your other siblings. Your father never had to do that. I understand you have a luxury tax where you're literally putting the money. We talk about how the Yankees don't care about winning and Hal Steinbrenner doesn't care about winning. Hal Steinbrenner is putting money in the pockets of billionaires who have more personal wealth than he does, and watch them pocket that money and not put it into their players and their team year after year while he's told he doesn't care about winning. I'm with you, Hal. I am with you on that argument. Your father would not have liked that either. There are billionaires right now with more personal wealth than Hal Steinbrenner and the Steinbrenner family who sit on their ass and collect money from the Yankees and the Dodgers and the Mets and the Phillies and the Red Sox and everybody else, and they sit there and they pocket that money and tell you, well, our market isn't big enough, or we don't sell enough tickets, and blah, 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 blah. Right? Major League Baseball right now is trying to get the Rays to sell their team because they don't put any money. Everybody loves the Rays, how smart they are. Tell me they want to win. They've never done anything to try and win, ever. They've had good teams because they are smart, and because they develop well, and because they draft well. And they've had good teams right on the precipice of winning, right there where they're a player or two away from being an excellent baseball team. And when has their team ever invested the money? And don't tell me they're poor and nobody goes to that building. I don't care. They've got the money if they want to go win. Minnesota, that guy is filthy rich. Doesn't put any money into that team. So I get it. But Hal, you just made, and everybody saw how much money you just made last year. Everybody knows you're going to make $27 million from Gerrit Cole missing all year. You have to reinvest that money. Now, it's only a $13 million player because they're over the luxury tax at 110%. So that $27 million is not going out and spending $27 million. It's spending half that. But that's the bare minimum. And right now there are players for that amount of money or close to it that can help you figure out a way to have the Arizona Diamondbacks eat a little bit of that contract to make it work for you. Go get Nolan Arenado right now. That'll pretty much be about 14. You could get that down to $14, $15 million. They're still desperate to move him in St. Louis. Go improve this team with that money. So I'm not all pom-poms. The owner needs to spend that money. And I don't think they're good enough today to win the World Series necessarily. But I'm not going to crawl into the fetal position in the bathroom going, oh, who has it worse than the Yankee fan? Why does this happen to us? Why is Brian Cashman so bad? How come my owner doesn't spend money? Oh, it's so rough to be a Yankee fan. They were in the World Series last year. Stand up and grow up. This thing isn't over. Now, it's still up to them to get better. And I just told you how and why. But let's not, Let's trade everybody. Play all the kids. Why is George Lombard being sent down to minor league spring training? Play him at third every day. Why not? What's the point? Who cares?
Who cares? You think the season's over? Everybody told me last year that the AL was a joke, that the Yankees get zero credit for getting to the World Series, that anybody could have done it. It's laughable. They're disgusting. The playoffs were a joke, and it was seven or eight different NL teams would have made the World Series if they were in the AL. The AL is embarrassing. They lose Gerrit Cole, and suddenly they can't compete in the AL? Let's go. I'm pumped for this season. Get pumped for this season. You still get to watch the best hitter on the planet hit every day, and they're going to figure this thing out. Now they got to go add stuff, and you got $27 million. I'll go do it. Let's get to the calls. Kevin and Copeg. What's up, Kevin?
Wow, C-Mac, you were channeling John Belushi there at Animal House.
Yeah, right. Nothing is over. Nothing is over.
So, Gerrit Cole is in good hands with Dr. Neil Attach. He knows how to attach the arms. This guy, he'll be good. Year and a half.
Yeah, but what's a year and a half from now? That's the issue. A year and a half from now is September.
No, I love these names. Dr. Neil Attach. Jerry Seinfeld did a bit on that on Mets podcast. These doctors get all the recognition.
Yeah, no, I got
you. Dr. Neil Attach. But I don't know, man. The Red Sox, I think that you guys are kind of coming back to the pack a little bit now. I'm excited to see what these other rivals.
No doubt they've come back to the pack. That's what I'm talking about. Absolutely. That's what it's done. It's put them in the pack. I thought they were a step above the pack. Now they're in the pack.
The Red Sox have been awful, though. 3 years in a row, the rivalry's been... I love the... I'm a Mets fan, but, I mean, Walker Buehler, Alex Bregman, Crochet, hopefully they can give you guys a little run for your money. I mean...
I don't think there's a doubt they will. I think the Red Sox are the second-best team in the American League. Now... You know, that rotation should be pretty good. The lineup was like up and down last year for them, but Bregman should help. You know, we'll see how Devers, how they handle Devers and his mindset, but he's a tremendous hitter. We all know that and owns the Yankees. And that's the other thing. They play well against the Yankees, even when they're down, even when they finished in last place the last handful of years. I think they finished in last place three out of the last four. They still give the Yankees problems. Right, they gave Gerrit Cole problems. That won't matter this year. But they gave Gerrit Cole problems. They gave the Yankees problems, even when they weren't a winning franchise or a winning team. So, yeah, Walker Buehler's damn good. We saw Walker Buehler in the postseason last year. Now, he's had health issues as well. But if he stays healthy, if Crochet stays healthy, that rotation is, those two guys right there, pretty damn good. And that rotation probably right now is better than the Yankees rotation.
So, that's the difference. Right now, I think the Yankees' bullpen is better. I know they have Chapman closing games, and he has still proven that he can throw 100 and 203 miles an hour, but I think Devin Williams has been proven to be better over the last handful of years. Plus, I like their setup guys better, so the bullpen's better. The rotation for the Red Sox is probably better now with the injuries, but we'll see. That's something I can't guarantee, but right now on paper. And then the lineup on paper is better for Boston, but not by much. And I still think that the best hitter in the world is on the New York Yankees. But yes, that's the difference. For me, that's the difference. The difference is, despite not spending enough, despite having a hole at third base, despite even having a hole at DH after the Stanton news, I still looked at the New York Yankees as the clear-cut best team in the American League. Now I don't. Now they're in the mix. In the mix doesn't end the season. It's not what Yankee fans want. Yankee fans want the Yankees to be the Yankees, whatever that means. To be the Yankees and to go out and spend and spend and spend, I guess, and have an all-star at every position and be the clear-cut favorites to not only get to but win the World Series. They want the Yankees to be the Dodgers. I understand. But being just part of the best teams in the American League, being one of the best two or three teams in the American League, doesn't end the season. It doesn't make it a disaster, and it's not worth giving up on the year. Like, Yankees, especially on social media, Yankee fans talk crazy. Relax. Jeff and Clinton, what's up, Jeff?
Hey, how you doing tonight? Great show, by the way.
Thank you, buddy. How are you?
So what I'm saying is, what other team can lose their number one starter and still be the favorite to come out of their conference? I don't know. Let me guess. Maybe the Dodgers, right? I mean,
the Dodgers. The Dodgers lost multiple. They lost Glasnow,
right? And they still made the World Series.
They still won the World Series without him. Yeah, I mean,
Exactly.
2 years ago, the Texas Rangers lost. Obviously, Jacob DeGrom, who they signed and paid a ton of money to, was their best starting pitcher. They went on to win the World Series.
Yeah, that was rough.
And they went on to win the World Series. Evan talked about the 06, not the 06 Cardinals, the whatever team won the 11 Cardinals, lost their ace pitcher at the start of the year. What the hell's his name?
And they still made it.
And they won the World Series.
Right. So, you know what I mean? Like, the AL is so weak. Like, we are still, you even said earlier, they are still the favorite to come out of the AL.
They are still the betting even favorite to come out of the AL.
Tell me any LA team that would lose their number one starter and still be the position that the Yankees are in. Nobody. So, all these Yankee fans need to calm down.
Yep.
Right? Right. There's a lot of baseball. There's a lot of baseball games in the season. Right? Let's not start freaking before one starts.
Yeah.
We don't even have one yet. You know? I'm on board with you, man.
Yeah.
Spend the money that you got from Gerrit Cole from being injured and get something. You know, even if you get something, just a little something. We don't need anything crazy. Just something. Help us out.
No, absolutely. Right? I'm with you. They got to go get something. I'm not saying they, you know, and they'll do something at the deadline. They always do. Whether it'll be enough for the fan base or whether it'll be the right guy, that I can't assure you. But they will do something. Between now and then, there will be another addition to this roster. Hopefully it'll work. But, yeah, I agree with you. Right now, again, what other team, if the Red Sox lost Garrett Crochet, they would not be the second best team in the American League right now. The Yankees signed Max Fried. And that's why I find it interesting. And it's an interesting debate. And I saw Sal's comment. And he's taken it as a proven thing. I don't think it's a proven thing, but it is an interesting debate. And I thought it was interesting. And I've said this. I said it's smart what David Stearns is doing with the Mets. I've never said otherwise. People are getting on me. I'm killing David Stearns for the way he handles pitching. I'm not. It is a smart way to handle pitching, signing nothing but one-year deals. It's a smart way because, again, I think you can – a pitcher goes down, you can live with it. But I do think you need talent. Like right now, Cole goes down. If the Yankees, you know, ran out and got an average starting pitcher for, you know, a one-year deal of $15 million, would you feel very good about it? They went out and got an ace-type pitcher. That's why I feel good about it. It's like the idea that, this is why it's a proven fact you should not handle your rotation the way the Yankees do, and you should do it the way the Mets do. That's fine. And last year, without question, it worked for the Mets. Without question. It was a masterful, masterful job. One of the best we've ever seen, arguably, of throwing a piecemeal rotation together and having it be the best in baseball for the second half of the season. It's mind-bogglingly good what the Mets did last year with their rotation. But right now, I'm just like, they've lost Montas and Manaea for at least a stretch here. Like, yeah, I mean, I hope if Clay Holmes pitches the way he's pitched in spring training, then that'll help. But if Senga goes down too, or like, who are you going to? Griffin Canning isn't going to come in here and make up for it. Paul Blackburn is not going to come in here and make you feel better about losing a pitcher. You want to talk about the pitching injuries? Absolutely. Pitching injuries happen. And it's devastating. And if you have you put a lot of money into that pitcher, it hurts you, no doubt. And the idea that you wouldn't put a lot of money or have a long-standing contract with a starting pitcher and they go down, sure, on the surface, the idea of having, you know, the idea of losing that pitcher long-term, does that hurt you? Not as much because the contract's not that long or he's not making that much money. Sure, I can go and pivot off of that. Great, got it. But if Senga goes down, you're replacing him with Griffin Canning. You know, like, you have no one to fill at the top of the rotation. The Yankees lost Gerrit Cole, and the only reason I still feel pretty good about the staff is because they went out and spent a lot of money on an ace-quality starting pitcher. Now, if you're able to develop them, great. If you're able to sign lesser pitchers and turn them into that, even better. But ultimately, eventually, you have to take some chances on the starting pitching. I don't think you can live the way the Mets have lived. And also, I don't disagree. I think the Yankees have spent too much money in the rotation. Like the Rodon one is the one that sucks, because if you're wrong, it really sucks. Like, they gave big money to Cole, big money to Rodon, big money to Max Fried, right? And Cole is now gone, although he's won a Cy Young and been a great pitcher for them. But Cole is now gone. Rodon isn't as good as you thought, and you're hoping Max Fried can stay healthy and pitch. Like, most of your money should be spent on the lineup. There's no doubt. The position player is more valuable. That's where most of your money should go. But to spend money on two top free agents, top tier, top of the rotation guys, that's not crazy. Or to at least take a chance on one to be a dominant force for you and be that guaranteed no losing streak kind of guy, that's not crazy. There is a mixture of the two. Going overboard like the Yankees have with three top-heavy contracts at the top of their rotation, probably too much. In fact, it is too much. But nothing but 1 and 2 year contracts on lesser pitchers you're hoping you turn into something, it might work a year. That is a tough way to navigate your rotation year in and year out. So I think there is a meeting of the minds, and you could do it both ways, or a little bit more prudent than the Yankees and a little bit more aggressive than the Mets, and find a happy medium. Because right now, I don't trust the Mets starting staff. Sorry, I just don't. And that's not to knock them. I just think it's the weak. Every team has a weakness. That's their weakness. I don't trust that starting rotation. I don't. And right now, the Yankees, I wish they had another bat, but they've spent money on their starting rotation, and it's either injured or not as good as they hoped. Both hurt you. Both hurt you. We'll find out which more. Right now, it's easy to say the Mets will hurt less because they did it with smoke and mirrors in the rotation last year. Let's see what this rotation looks like this year. And maybe we'll find out that, you know what? It can hurt you both ways. Not having enough talent there can hurt you. And spending for top-level talent at a position that constantly gets hurt can hurt you just as bad. Totally agree. Like, we'll find out. But the idea that we know for a fact that you're better off not putting any money into the rotation, I don't know if that's true. I think there should be a meeting of the minds, and the Yankees have put far too much into the top of the rotation. Ralph and Bradley Beach, I'll come back and take your calls in a second. I got to take a quick break. McMonagle here with you. We're halfway through our show, taking you all the way to 5 o'clock, talking a little baseball. We'll get back to the football. Apparently, everybody wants me to have a conversation about, I got a bunch of people, Tiki Barber must hate you. Tiki Barber, I don't think Tiki hates me. Me and Tiki are cool. We disagree on tanking, that's all.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey. I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Now here's Chino. One on, two out. Pitch is swung on and drilled. The deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone. The Fan Chino with two outs in the bottom of the ninth.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 3:37, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. 888-808-1019. A little bit of baseball, a little bit of football. We'll get into some of the other signings both the Jets and Giants made. Giants pick up a number one corner. They get an offensive lineman. See if they can turn this team around as we wait for the quarterback positions. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Ralph in Bradley Beach. What's up, Ralph?
Hey, C-Mac.
Yes, sir.
I'm not in Bradley Beach. Where do you think I am? In the left coast.
Oh. Where are you? You're out there in California?
Yeah, my sister has a restaurant, and there was a St. John's player that lived out here. I'll give you a guess. Chris Mullins. His son played lacrosse. I'm in Berkeley. Berkeley.
Gotcha.
And I was here because Boston College played the Cal Bears in softball.
Mm-hmm.
And Boston College also probably won, but I'll tell you, it's something that my sister owned a club called The Chapel. It was his band. If you could check them out later, they called us the Gags from Australia. They're like Nirvana. Unbelievable. But to get back, I'm calling about, and see, Matt, you're the man, the St. John's Redmond. I'm ready. I'm taking 10 kids to the first one Thursday. Somebody donated tickets, and I'm fired up. I hope. No, it happens to me because this is bringing back memories, and I know everybody's ready because let's get a win. I mean, the Knicks losing two in a row out in La La Land. Let's get some fever back to this city and bring the Queens momentum rising to the top. Let's go, you know.
Yeah, no, listen, this is going to be an exciting time. St. John's in the Big East tournament. I mean, they're opening the Tonight Show. I mean, they are, again, I mean, you know, pun intended, they're taking the country by storm right now. And it's going to be fun. The Big East tournament, I think they play on Thursday. We're going to be into it. Now, the Big East tournament will be fun as long as they get, you know, deep into it. It doesn't even matter. They're going to be in the tournament whether they win or lose. They could lose the game on Thursday. They're still in the tournament. But I mean, it'll be fun. And this team with Rick Pitino right now, they are tough. They are feisty. They defend. They've gotten better at shooting the three. They're a dangerous team. They're the sixth best team in the country. They're hopefully going to be a two seed. If they win the Big East tournament, I think they will be a two seed. If they get to the Big East finals, I think they'll be a two seed. If they fall short of the finals, it's up for grabs on whether they're a two or a three. But they are going to be a threat. And depending on the bracket they get, if they can avoid, you know,
Duke or Auburn, you got a chance to be a Final Four team. Like, that's how good they are. And it will be exciting, no doubt. Stuart in Brooklyn. What's up, Stu?
So, it's Tommy John surgery, and yes, he's out for the year. So, it's a good thing, actually, that they bring in Max Free. Because he's going to be the ace, and hopefully Carlos Rodon won't forget how to pitch in clutch situations. And hopefully the rest of the team can pick up the slack in Cole's absence. And hopefully Luis Gil can come back sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't anticipate Luis Gil until July. That's how I'm viewing it. Yeah. There's a chance, like, you're hearing late May, early June. That would shock me. Like, yeah, that would shock me. I think it's going to be July. So we'll see him in July. Yeah, and listen, as long as absolutely not. And as long as the Yankees are good enough to contend, and I think they will be, him coming back by July is fine. I'm fine with that.
So what do you think about Dominguez in left field? What's your opinion? Do you think he's better suited for center or left?
I don't. I mean, he's more comfortable there, but I don't think he's more suited long-term. I don't think he's a very good defender. And I think he'll have problems in center field as he will in left field. Maybe he'll have more problems in left because he's got to deal with that corner as a corner outfielder. But, I mean, he overran a ball terribly in Seattle last year playing center field. He's just, and you listen to scouts. I know Michael Kay was talking to a scout. Thank you for the call, Stu. Michael Kay was talking to a scout and talked about the idea that he's just not very good defensively right now. He, missed a lot of time. He was just getting started under COVID. He's had some injuries the last year. He hasn't had a ton of reps in the outfield, and he's not a very good defender. I don't think he'd be good in center. I don't think he'll be very – you'll live with it in left. I don't want him in center. I don't want a bad defensive center fielder. And that's why I just disagree. Like, the idea that, well, why don't you just put him in center field? You could play Bellinger in left. Like, you could, but – he's so much, the difference between them and center isn't that big a gap, where the difference in them in left field is enormous. No, I don't agree. I think the difference in center field's big. I don't think he's a very good outfielder right now. And you can live with it in left field. Teams live with it, right? I know Castellanos and Schwarber were playing the corners for a team that went to the World Series. And neither of them are any good in the outfield. Like, the Yankees will live with it as long as he's got a hit. That's it. Let him hit. Let him play left field. Let him play left field. I have no problem with letting him play left field, letting him figure it out, even if it takes into April. Like, he doesn't have to be a well-rounded, great center, great left fielder come March 27th. He doesn't. They'll figure it out. He's going to have plenty of time to figure out left field. I want the better defender. And I don't buy that he's getting, ruined and his confidence is being shot and everything. I don't. He'll be fine. He's a young kid learning a position. He knows where he is. The Yankees are being very, honest and open with him. Hey, listen, we're working on it. We're going to give you time. We love you. You're going to be our left fielder. You're going to be hitting, you're going to be an important piece to our lineup, and we'll figure out left field. We have every confidence you will. I don't think he's going to suddenly, turn into a pumpkin because he's been poor in left field. Because I'll tell you what if you put him in center and he stinks there? What's that going to do for his confidence? Then there's no excuse if he's not used to it. Right now, you could use the excuse he's learning. What if he goes to center, where he played his whole career, and he sucks there too? Then what do we fall back on? Then what do we say? Then what's the talking point? Then it's just, oh, crap. This guy just isn't a very good defender. At least now he's got the excuse of, hey, I'm learning a new position. He'll be fine. He'll be fine. Now, a question about the fifth man in the rotation. I've kind of waffled on this. I think it's an interesting question because Will Warren is having a good spring, and he pitched yesterday, and he gave up a couple runs over 2 2/3 or something. Like, it was just he gave up a two-run double to Gleyber Torres, of course, with that extremely dark beard. That beard is so dark that Gleyber has. I cannot believe how pitch black his beard hair is. He looks like the guy that you have, like, the metal shavings, and you can, like, take the little magnet and make hair on his face or his head or whatever. Like, that's how dark Glaber's beard is. He looks like a completely different person. But I wish him well, and I'm satisfied he's not a Yankee anymore. I don't think they had to keep him. As good as he was in the postseason. But he, of course, comes through with a double against the Yankees, and I hope he has a good year. I do. I wish Kleber well. But he gave up that hit. But ultimately, Will Warren has had a very good spring. He has been the talk of spring, really. And, you know, much like Luis Gil was the talk of spring last year. But I have to admit, the more I think about it, I want him in the rotation. I do. I think he gives you the best opportunity to have someone who can be dynamic like Luis Gil. I don't think that Cookie Carrasco is going to give you that, you know, really good starting pitching that Will Warren could give you. I don't know if he's going to give it to you. If I knew that for sure, that he would stay healthy and pitch really well, then this wouldn't be a discussion. But I think if you were going to look at either of the two and say one of them is going to really be a very good starting pitcher and help this rotation a lot, I would say it's Will Warren. But the issue is, if Will Warren doesn't do that at the start of the year, if they give him the fifth and lose Cookie Carrasco, now you could say, well, then you sign Gibson. But how long does that take him to build up? Like, how these guys are, I know they're not sitting on their couch. They're probably doing something. These agents probably have camps and they're, you know, trying to build up, but it's not the same thing. Like, as of right now, I think the best bet is to send Will Warren down to AAA to start the year, see what Carrasco can give you in this rotation, and go, obviously, Stroman, Carrasco as the 4-5. Now, I know Clark Schmidt has the achy back a little bit. He's going to stay back and have one more sim start before the season. He should be ready for the sixth game of the year, so I don't know if that makes him the fifth starter, how the rotation plays out. But like, to have those two guys at the back end of the rotation for now, see what Carrasco does, maybe let Will Warren build up some confidence and work on things down in AAA, because I don't want to lose Carrasco and then have Will Warren not work out. Like, once you can't, I want to, right now they need as much pitching depth as possible. And Carrasco is throwing harder in this spring than he has in previous seasons. I don't know if that's going to linger, if that's going to stay, but he's been throwing 93, 94, which is up a couple of ticks from what he's been throwing the last couple of years. I'm not telling you that's going to make a world of difference or that he's going to be lights out necessarily, but he's had a nice little spring. They think he's doing pretty good. Blake has found something with him. I'll take a chance and see what he can give you for a short stretch. I don't think he's going to be in the rotation all year, but to start the year before any other moves are made, before they do anything else, I would love it to be Will Warren, but I'm just worried if Will Warren doesn't work, there's nowhere else to go. If you take Will Warren, lose Carrasco, because he's got no options, and you're not going to... I guess right now, at the state of the bullpen, there's a chance that you could have Carrasco as your long man, because you're still dealing with as many injuries at the bottom of the bullpen as they are, but I don't want to... How do you keep him elongated to be your starter? I guess you would start doing that once Will Warren was shaky. I mean, it's not the worst thing, but I think ultimately the best thing for the Yankees to start the year, unfortunately, because I think Will Warren has a chance to be this year's Luis Gil, I still think you just right now, with the depth they have in the rotation, you can't lose anyone, and you risk losing Carrasco if you go with Luis Gil Warren as your starter, and you can't send Carrasco down. You can only send Will Warren down. So I've kind of waffled on that a little bit, but I think that's unfortunately the best option for the New York Yankees. Eddie in Manhattan, what's up, Eddie?
How you doing? I'm a big Mets fan, but I want to talk a little Yankees pitching. I feel very bad for them, and I mean that. It's like, it seemed like just yesterday we were talking about them having one of the best rotations in the American League, and it just fell apart. I can't believe it. Yeah. Right? The best.
Yeah.
And, you know, now we're talking about Cookie Carrasco and a guy named Warren that I never heard of. It's amazing. It's how quickly things could change.
I understand. It happens with a lot of teams. Like, at the beginning of the year, the Mets were talking about how much they love their depth with Canning and Blackburn, and now those guys are in the rotation. There is no depth. Like, so now their injuries...
Yeah, you're right. You're 100%.
Manaea's injury, thankfully, for the Mets isn't nearly as devastating as what we've seen from Cole or even Luis Gil. He should be back at the bare minimum the first couple weeks of May, at the bare, you know, at the longest possible. So that's not a devastating blow. But right now, you're going to start the year with, you know, Canning and Blackburn in your in your rotation, and they were supposed to be depth pieces. So, I mean, it's a lot of rotations. It's not just them. The Rays haven't had a full rotation with their best starting pitchers in years. I mean, they're just like pitching, unfortunately. And this is why we talk about how the Mets handle business, like pitching in general. These guys get hurt. It's an unnatural act. And now, you know, finally, I actually saw Jacob DeGrom talking about how he'd rather sit at 96, 97 and hopefully stay healthier than throw 100 miles an hour and get hurt. Like, that's really when it started. Like, his velocity, if you remember with the Mets, he did throw about 97, 98. And he was, you know, unbelievable and, you know, still good enough to win a Cy Young. And then all of a sudden, he got, I don't know, stronger. His mechanics became more, you know, crystallized or whatever. But somehow he ended up throwing 100 and 101 on a regular basis more than any. It was like ridiculous. They would show the graphics of how many 100-mile-an-hour pitches were thrown. It was like, you know, Verlander has thrown 16. Scherzer has thrown 17. You know, Jordan Hicks has thrown this many or whatever. And then it was like DeGrom, 85. It was like, this guy is like throwing 100 miles an hour every other pitch. And that's when his injury problems really started. So I do think that a couple of things, because people always ask, what's, you know, why are these guys hurt and they weren't hurt in prior generations for multitude of reasons. One, they pitched more then, and they weren't, like right now they're being coached, everything you got for as long as you got. I got a bullpen with an arm that's just as good as you now. He throws just as hard. He's got a little bit of a hitch in his giddy up where he specifically, you know, gets out right-handed batters. So as long as we get through the lineup for two times, and you know, if you can get me just through that leadoff hitter to the second right-handed batter, then I'll take my, like, it is just, that's lanes for every pitcher. Go as hard and as long as you can. Where back in the day, they didn't pitch that way. They would save themselves. So I think that's led to more injuries. And then the other reason is just basic. They pitched through injuries back then. If their side hurt, they didn't complain about it and go get an MRI and show, oh, they have a grade 3 oblique strain. See you in 2 months. They just pitched. And then also, I have to admit this, just because baseball is my favorite sport and, you know, they're getting a bad rap from all these injuries when you compare it to other sports. And I remember listening as I was walking out the door the other day, Jerry and Al talking about injuries and, well, how come hockey players don't get injured? And they play, you know, through all this stuff. I mean, it's a different sport. It's a different sport. If you break your thumb, you can tape your hand and still possibly hold a stick. Or like, well, McDonough, the former captain of the New York Rangers. I remember in the playoffs, McDonough played with a broken foot. He played with a broken foot. Now, that's one tough son of a gun. I'm not trying to say he's not tough, but the one sport I never played was hockey. But the idea that you could tape up a broken foot to any degree and put it in a skate and allow him to function as a player, you can't pitch. If your right foot is broken, you can't pitch. You can't hit. You can't. You can somehow still tape up your foot, put it in a skate, and go out there with a broken foot. Like little injuries. Like you could be an offensive lineman with a broken finger. You can't hold a bat. If you can't grip a bat and swing it, you can't play. But in the NFL, you can play with a broken finger. We've seen guys go out there in casts with their hand in a fist in a cast. How are you going to play baseball that way? It is a more fine-tuned, you don't have to be as good an athlete, you don't have to be as physical, you don't have to have the same kind of endurance, although they play 162, but you don't have to have the endurance of a soccer player, you don't have to have the physicality of a hockey or a football player, you could be 6 foot nothing, you could weigh 350 pounds, like it is a different sport. It's more about finesse and skill and feel. And if you pull your oblique, you might be able to make it through a hockey game. You're going to have a tough time pitching, hitting, throwing, you know, with an oblique injury. It's just a different mindset. I don't think the players are any more soft. I think they would play through injuries if they could. You can't play the game. You can't play the game.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.